Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the lower intestine of Jolly Rogers Studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're listening online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If it's your first time riding along with us, let me tell you what we do. We are the show, which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Rogers Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our weekly top three list, inspired by the movie in question. This week, we're queuing up the 1966, I Think I Swallowed My Lava Lamp, sci-fi classic, Fantastic Voyage. But we're going back a little classic here, a little classic on the queue.
And this is the first episode of our Family Plan series.
That's right. I didn't want to break that fourth wall, man.
Too bad. I did.
Yeah, Ed, this is the Family Plan.
Uh-huh.
You take friends, you take family, you get family.
Right.
We're going to turn the queue over for the next round. We're going to let our family, possibly our friends, and to me, they're all the same. You guys know it.
Yeah.
I love my friends are my
family. Very different.
Yeah. So,
wide separation.
We have a father figure of the queue said, take me back to my youth. We're going to queue up Fantastic Voyage, and we'll get to who that is in a minute. So that's what we're doing. 1966, starring Raquel Welch, Stephen Boyd, Edmund O'Brien, and, of course, Donald Pleasence.
Of course.
Of course he's there.
And James Brolin.
Yeah, a young
James Brolin, of all people.
Oops, missed that.
Yeah. So did everybody else.
Yeah, so that's the film, guys. And if you've seen it, just keep listening. Maybe you'll agree with our take. Or if you haven't seen it, it might be something you want to queue up yourself. All right, so let's get into this. I'm Michael once again, and as always, to my left, James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
You notice a theme there, don't you?
Hardsub! You sound like
Michael
J. Fox.
I say it with such surprise every week.
Yeah, I'm right here.
So how am I doing?
How are you doing, sir?
Oh, you know, I'm doing okay, Savage. You know, I don't have any little black little coals inside my lungs.
That's good.
Right, right. I don't suffer from pleurisy, which is the sac around the lungs when it expands. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm fairly certain I did not spend last night with several men inside me. So
fairly certain. You're not 100% certain.
I can't vouch. So I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay.
Okay.
I hope that works. All right. Well, we're going to get into this movie here in a bit. But first thing we want to do is talk about how you keep up with us, however you want to. How's that sound?
Well, how about you introduce the other guys?
Oh.
Carried away.
How did I miss that?
I don't know. They're just sitting there.
We're not worthy.
Maybe they've been miniaturized.
Maybe. Where'd they go? That's what it was.
I'm already miniaturized. Let me out of this.
Well, it's a one-man show tonight since you've all been shrunk down and are now inside me. So it's a one-man show. I'm really sorry about that. Either that stays or it's the power of editing. I don't know. Yes. Hardsub Savage. And to your left, it's
Hoodie. Matt.
Matt St. Hoodie.
Hey, Max. Banter, banter, banter.
How's it going, Matt?
Banter, banter, banter. Ha ha, banter.
I'm good, too.
I don't understand the bantering.
Banter, banter.
Wow. We'll interpret that somehow.
Right.
Yeah. We will interpret that somehow.
Banter. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're the patron saint of quality outerwear, just to let you know.
Yep.
Don't need it, but here you are with it. Max Gumbo Johnson.
How's it going?
Well, you know I'm doing. I explained it to Savage. I'm doing okay.
I know.
I have no health ills.
Weren't real sure about those several men in you last night. So I'm kind of worried about you.
Well, when you get up around a dozen, it's no longer several.
Okay. Right. You look worn out.
Yeah, I'm a little tired.
A little tired.
Not as tired as this guy. This is our producer. Greatest producer in the history of the Q Film Cast, Adam the Bomb Rogers. There he is. I think we're all in a good mood. I sense this.
It's a Fantastic Voyage we're
okay.
taking here.
Now we can talk about how to keep up with this. Doesn't matter any way you want to, guys. Q Film Cast. Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Google. Go to our website, qfilmcast.net. That's where you want to go. Let's get into this, guys. Cue up the conversation. Did you say something about a Family Plan?
Yes. This is the first in our Family Plan series.
It is the first. And we handed this over to the producer, and we said, hey, you pick a friend, you pick a family member, and you tell us what they want to cue up. You came back with Dad.
I came back with Dad.
Right. Daddy Rogers, the ultimate bomb. Rogers. The big bomb.
Right.
Big bomb.
And he says, hey, Fantastic Voyage. Now, have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. When I was a child.
Really?
Okay. With your dad?
I haven't seen. Yes. Yeah. Long time ago.
On Betamax?
No, we never had a Betamax. We only had VHS.
Oh, my God.
Rich.
Yeah.
Snobs. VHS snobs. Okay. So thank you, Dan Rogers. Daddy Dan, getting us going here.
Daddy Dan.
1966, Fantastic Voyage. Before we get into our review of this film, we always kind of kick it around. Let you know what the critics thought. Give you some facts and figures, so we're going to do that. First thing, though, did you know that people who liked this film also liked The Lost World, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, and The People That Time Forgot, just to name a few?
Makes sense to me.
Never seen any of those. Well, have I seen The Lost World? Maybe I have.
I've seen Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea and The Lost World. I've never heard People That Time Forgot.
That's what it said. The People what? That Time Forgot.
Oh, God. So sue me. I've never seen The People That Time Forgot. What is The People
That Time... The Land That Time Forgot is a sequel to that.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh.
Why would they want to see the sequel but not the original? Anyways, enough of that. If you like those films...
You might like this.
You might like this. Way to go, Savage. Directed by Robert Fleischer. I dare you to tell me what he's known for, Max.
Some of his other movies?
Yeah.
Oh, Soylent Green, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Really?
Mandingo.
Oh, yeah, classic.
Oh, Mandingo.
And my favorite, Mr. Majestic, starring Charles Bronson and the indestructible Ford truck.
I had no idea. What about you, Savage?
No, I don't know. I mean, nope. I've seen Soylent Green.
Amityville 3D, come on.
Okay, he's got that one. I knew you'd catch up on that one.
Yeah. And his daddy was Max Fleischer.
Didn't know it.
Really?
Wow.
Did not know that.
Yeah, people with Mac, named Max, that's a powerful name.
He was... pioneer in the animation field.
You know, he also did Tora, Tora, Tora.
Nope.
He did. I should like to call that movie Bora, Bora, Bora.
How about the jazz singer?
Yeah, I know. Really? He did that.
Conan the Destroyer.
I was going to say. We're gonna
the jazz singer with Neil Diamond?
The same guy that did the jazz singer directed Conan the Destroyer. That's what I'm telling
and
you.
And Red Sonja.
Wow.
Never seen
this
Red
Sonja. This guy's all over the place.
This movie stars Stephen Boyd. He was in Ben-Hur. Enough of that. I mean, I don't want to talk about it. We've talked about it. We're going to get to the meat of the film here in a second.
Here's the star.
We know it's starred, who else did you
Raquel
say?
Welch.
Raquel Welch, obviously, but,
Donald Pleasance.
I missed someone earlier.
Oh, James Brolin.
James Brolin.
It did not star James Brolin.
Yeah, he was
in
it.
There.
Okay.
It's like saying Creature of the Black Lagoon starred.
Okay, whatever. No wonder he didn't pop up in the credits right away. But Raquel Welch did. This was, probably a big reason why people went to this film, especially
after popping up.
Yeah, in film.
Right.
What's the dinosaur one she was in? The 100,000 BC, what do we call it?
100 million BC. 20
million BC.
What is it? How
what
many BCs is
10,000, it's like 10 that's, with Ringo Starr?
No, you're thinking of caveman.
It's 1 million years BC.
Which is 1 billion years BC. Anyway, she played the loincloth-wearing cave woman. That was her kind of lore. That's what introduced her.
Awesome.
Yes. This was her somewhat of a follow-up to that. So people kind of went to see more of that.
Sure.
That's why she's in
why
this film.
Wouldn't you?
There's no reason why you wouldn't. Yeah, she captured the hearts and libidos of modern men back in 1966 for sure. And we'll get into that too. But let's talk a bit about the film. As they all do, this inspired a top three list. Adam, top three what? What did this film inspire? Our top three what?
Cruising movies?
There you go.
Cruising movies?
Wait a second.
Cruising movies.
Let me explain this. Not cruising movies. There's probably a whole subgenre for that.
Right. Cruise that appear in movies.
Right.
Okay. Not Tom Cruise movies.
Not Cruising on the Strip.
You mean cruise, like cruise of a ship?
Cruise of a ship. Not Terry Crews. Not Penelope Cruz.
Groups of people that are there for a higher purpose.
Assembled groups.
I like that.
I hate that we have to keep explaining our top three.
Cruise. You're part of a crew. Okay, we got the idea. Cruising films.
Got it.
All right, we're going to get into this film. First thing, let's talk about what other people thought of this film. We always go to IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, because they're the standards. And I always ask one of you guys what you think. What do you think, Hoodie, IMDb gave this film?
7.5.
Yeah, 6.9.
Dang.
What about you, Savage? You want to take a go with the Rotten Tomatoes?
83.
93 critics, 67 users.
Wow.
Wow, big discrepancy there between the critics and the users. Okay, so why don't we give a little bit of a breakdown of this film, give you a synopsis of what this film's about. I'm going to let the producer, the greatest producer, read this. Hand it over to you, producer. Why don't you give us a little synopsis of Fantastic Voyage 1966, the film we're talking about tonight. What's it all about?
Stephen Boyd heads a team of scientists sent on a bizarre experimental mission. Through a revolutionary and as yet untested process, the scientists and their special motorized vehicles are miniaturized, and I said vehicles, not vehicle, then injected into a bloodstream of near death. Their mission is to relieve a blood clot caused by an assassination attempt. Yikes. One member of the... Don't do this to me. One member of an... I can't do this. One member of the expedition is bent on sabotage, so the scientist's secrets will die with him. Another member is Raquel Welch. Seemingly along for the ride solely because of how she looks in a skin-tight diving suit. Really? You wrote this?
I'll take credit. I would have said the same thing, so yeah.
The film's Oscar-winning visual effects start the process or progress of the Voyagers through the scientist's body, burrowing past deadly antibodies, chunks of tobacco residue in the lungs, and other such obstacles. Fantastic Voyage was later spun off into a Saturday morning cartoon series.
Outstanding. My God.
Wow. That was stellar.
Where's my round of applause?
There it is.
We'll
right
insert
there.
That later.
Can you watch this on Netflix? I think you can.
Yeah.
My God, series? It makes me want to go right now. Tobacco and Raquel lungs. Welch and lungs and blood clots and assassins.
Things to like crystallize.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Attacking. Let's attack a trailer right here. Come down back. Tell you what we thought
this
of this
guy.
Thing.
I
threaded the needle. I was trying. Yeah, with a laser. With a laser, I went in there. Here you go. Here's a trailer. 1966. Fantastic Voyage.
The eye of man is ever seeking, leading him ever onward to explore the vastness of space, the depths of the seas, the bowels of the earth. Now, you are going on a journey through the living body of man. Fantastic Voyage takes you where no film has ever been before.
One of the miracles of the universe.
No eyewitness has actually seen what you will see. But in this world of ours, where going to the moon will soon be upon us, and where the most incredible things are happening all around us, someday, perhaps tomorrow, the fantastic events that you will view can and will take place.
24 seconds left. After that, you're in danger of attack.
Fantastic Voyage!
Okay, so there it is. There's a trailer, a piece from the 1966 film that we're talking about tonight. Fantastic Voyage, starring Raquel Welch, some dudes, Donald Pleasance, and James Brolin.
And some other dudes.
And some other dudes. And that one dude playing the other dude, right. Playing the other dude.
A laser gun and a spaceship.
And an ant.
And some tobacco residue.
No Lincoln Continentals were harmed during the making of this.
Nicely played.
Yeah, if you've seen the movie, that's funny.
That is funny. Let's get into a little bit of trivia about this thing before we talk about the film, okay? Because we're going to give our ratings here in just a minute. There's all kinds of trivia. Let's keep it Raquel Welch. You want to?
Sure.
Just a little bit.
Sure.
Did you know that Raquel Welch was a former cocktail waitress?
Not surprised?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, I found this somewhat interesting. Mentioned in the theme song of the 1980s television series, what, Max?
The Fall Guy.
Darn right.
Love the Fall Guy.
Yeah, I used to know every word to that.
Heck yeah, sung by Lee Majors himself.
Right? Yep.
Yeah, not the kind of good something there. And Raquel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember that, producer? Fall Guy?
I have the box set, but I do not remember the...
No, I used to be able to sing every word of that.
I'll bet you didn't know this about Raquel Welch, too. She was nearly Marianne in Gilligan's Island. Last minute, boom, goes to Dawn Wells. Mistake?
Wow. No, good choice.
You
no.
think so?
I think she would have overpowered.
Because you already had Ginger there. You can't have two bosom buxoms
well,
there.
Well, Marianne was the sexier one.
You think so?
I'm a Marianne guy. Yeah, Marianne. Take a vote, Marianne.
No, I'm going Howell. Mrs. Howell.
You would.
I want experience and money. Give me a sugar mom on that.
Experience and money.
Good
this
answers.
Guy knows how to live. This guy is good.
He's got it figured out.
Did you know that Raquel Welch was in 1 million years BC? We talked about that earlier. But all of her grunting was dubbed.
Who dubbed it? Adam?
Adam, what are you doing? Doy?
One of Mike's coworkers.
I wasn't even born at that point.
I found this kind of funny. When filming the scene in this film, Fantastic Voyage, where the other crew members removed attacking antibodies from Mrs. Peterson for the first time, director Robert Fleischer allowed the actors to grab what they pleased. Most all reached for Raquel's breasts.
No, that's wrong. No. That's wrong. You got it backwards.
What did I say?
They were all being nice gentlemen and avoided reaching for her breasts. And they said, wait, there's still the stuff up there. Nobody wanted to touch it. So they said, okay, everybody make it a point to get the stuff
over her breasts. So they did it again, and all of them reached for her breasts.
I must have just replayed that in my mind the way I would have done it.
And then he had to do it again and stage it, say, okay, you get this, you get that, you get this, you get that. I guess they draw a straw for the breast.
Okay,
something.
Well, there's the grand poobah.
That means they had to do that three times. I bet you somebody paid him.
They may have.
I must have misread that, right? Okay, I guess you're right. Yeah, I'm not reading it right. Okay, good. Yeah. Well, what else you got for anybody else with Did You Know on this film? I just kind of went with the Raquel Welch trivia.
I just looked at all the stuff on IMDb. It was nothing that major.
No, there really wasn't a whole lot on the film. Matter of fact, everything's always about Raquel Welch.
Yeah, that it won an
Except
Oscar.
Except that they wanted Isaac Asimov to do the book. And he or the screenplay or something. He said, this thing's full of plot holes. And he said, let me write the novelization the way I would have written it.
Yeah.
And he fixed a lot of the plot holes in the book. But he wrote it so quick, the book came out before the movie.
Is that what happened?
So everybody thought the movie was based on a book that Isaac Asimov wrote.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that in there, too. I thought,
well, that's an interesting Did You Know.
Yeah, because I thought, okay, is it or is it not Isaac Asimov inspired? I wasn't sure how they were saying that.
No, it's not.
You said this won an Oscar.
So I did, for special effects.
Yeah, okay. You said it, too.
Did I? Okay.
A little earlier.
They must have been memorable.
Well, you just watched it. You should know.
Well, listen, let's get into this thing. Enough of that. Let's get into the film.
Sure.
1966, Fantastic Voyage.
Shrink down and get into this film.
Let's get real small. Real, real small. You know, we don't use thumbs up or thumbs down here. Why is that?
Because it's dumb.
It's stupid.
Stupid.
We
it's
let
not
the,
fantastic.
There's nothing original, not fantastic. No. It's not out of this world.
Nope.
We let the film tell us how we're going to rate it. And tonight, I think we're going with white blood cells.
Sounds right. Fantastic.
They're vicious, too, Hoodie. Did you see that in this film? How vicious they were? The way they cling on to you. Just kind of wrap themselves around you.
Cling on to you.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Anybody?
Yeah. I got it. That's the look.
Wrong science fiction. All right, so let's get into this film. Inspired by our family plan. First time up, Adam.
Hi, Dad.
Dan Rogers. We're going to review this film for you. Okay, so let's do this. Fantastic Voyage. Let's talk about what we gave this film. Let's go over to Adam, the producer, since... basically, it's his pick, right?
Basically not.
1960s. Okay.
Did Dad say anything about it?
Yeah, actually, he did. I asked him what he thought about it. He said, as a kid, he would have gave this an 8. But he said, watching it again, he only gave it a 4.
Really? Okay.
So, yeah. So he's kind of, right. I guess, in between there. Let's go with a 6 there for Dad.
So you're going 6? Fantastic Voyage?
You know what, Dad? I'm sticking with you. 6.
All right.
6. Okay. All okay.
Right. All right.
6 white blood cells for you and your father. But that doesn't make it a 12, Adam. You know that.
Oh.
Just 6. 6. We'll be inspired.
We'll have an honorary score.
What about you, Max? Let's go over to you here. White Blood Cells, 1966, Fantastic Voyage.
I think it probably holds up a lot better than a lot of people get it credit for. I mean, you got to look at it at the time. And what it did do was pretty fantastic. But it doesn't all hold up. I mean, some of the stuff in there is really pretty silly. But so I'll go with the 6. 6 white blood cells.
6 white blood cells. Hoodie, as you nod... in contemplation, with your lips pursed, tell me about the white blood cells.
Looks
you're
like he has an immune system deficiency going on there.
I feel like I got something floating around in my brain.
I think you do. Right. I think you do. Cry me out a
score. Yeah, this guy didn't write out all the plot holes. There's a pretty big one. I got to go 5. There's a huge one at the end, but
yeah.
No. You're getting confused.
Oh, we'll get there later.
In the book, he wrote out all those plot holes.
I know.
They were still in the movie, though.
Still in the movie.
Right.
So we have a 6. We have a 6. Hoodie gives it 5. Hard 6. Sub Savage. Which 6. One? 6?
I'm going to go 6.
It's... Ooh. I'm going to go ahead and give it a 6.
Wow.
Let's go 6 on this one.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, these films, too, because when you base your film on science fiction and special effects, you're going to brand it. It's going to be dated. Yeah. These aren't things that... In any, even like The Matrix, it's going to be dated because of that.
Not really, because you got Alien. That's held
Blade Runner. Right.
I don't know if it's just, I don't know if it's specifically held together just with that. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Okay, you don't know what I'm saying. Okay.
I don't know what you're saying either.
You know what I'm saying? You don't know what I'm saying?
No,
okay,
I don't.
Fine. Well, okay. We'll get into it.
Oh, I think I know what I'm saying.
We'll get there.
All right, I have a good place to go with that. I'm going to give it a 6. Not terrible. I can't really hate the film.
No, it's above average. You should give it a look.
Yeah, it stays in the shallow end of the pool quite a bit, don't you think?
Yep.
I think.
Yeah.
Actual is a 29. Honorary would be a 35.
But that don't count.
But it doesn't count. It's honorary. So it doesn't really count.
Is that asterisk. Mean not to count that?
It's just shared. It's a family plan. They right. share the same score. Like you share minutes on a phone plan.
Right. I get
okay.
it. Okay. Because that's kind of where we got
family.
Right. It's exactly where we got family.
Completely stole that.
Okay, producer. Let's get back around to you. Let's talk about why you gave this film the review. the rating that you gave it. Let's talk about some things that stuck out to the film, stuck out from the film to you.
Okay. As a kid, I always thought it was visually, you know, just awesome. But watching it years later, I never picked up on the whole Cold War thing going on, which was a shocking surprise, and kind of dug on that a little bit. That's why my score went up higher than it did, because of that whole Cold War thing.
The political angle of it.
Yeah, I'd never picked up on it as a child. So
yeah. Also spiritual, a little bit of a spiritual angle.
Oh, yeah, went into that
and
for sure.
The visuals, yeah, they're a little hokey, but you know what? Think about back in that time when you're, if you were a child, that would have been phenomenal to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I have to say.
Yeah, we'll get into some scenes here in a bit, and we can talk about some of those visuals and how they made you, how they kind of grabbed you a second time around or as an older person watching this thing. But Gumbo Johnson.
See?
You also gave this a 6, I do believe. And explain yourself, sir.
Well, like I said before, I think it holds up a lot better than people give it credit for. Yeah, it's dated.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at it now, and some of it does hold up. Yeah, it looks a little hokey and silly, but at the time, like he said, I mean, this was really something. That's even how the movie started. You're about to see things that, you know, no one has ever seen before. Yeah. It's never been put on film prior to this time. And, and I, you know, it did win an Oscar, so it was doing something right.
Yeah.
Some of it worked. I think some of it still holds up to a certain degree. Some of it just is like, okay, this just looks silly. But the one thing I did like at the beginning of the movie, it went for a relatively serious tone. It was not playing this for camp or laughs or, this is some jokey.
And it took a while to get to the narrative, too.
Yeah. I mean, it was 36 minutes in before they were in, and it was real time. And they were in there for an hour, and they had to get out. So I appreciate that aspect of it. But it really does not age well. I mean, some of the sexist comments in the 36 minutes prior to them going in, and even some of the stuff after they get in there towards Raquel Welch. I mean, that's like, wow, that really comes across as
it doesn't in the
a
time
word
frame,
that I can't
though,
say.
Much, you know, it doesn't really offend. It shouldn't offend you if it's now looking at it from back then. I wouldn't think.
Yeah, back then I'd probably be like, ah, ha, ha, yeah, you belong in the kitchen, young lady. What are you doing out here? Hey, that's cause, what did he say? Something like, that's a fancy coffee maker. Oh, it's not a coffee maker. Oh, I wish I was that. Blah, 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 whatever he said.
Right.
But it came across. You watch it now, it comes across. Wow, what a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, golly. Yeah.
So it's not just dated on the effects. It's dated on the content.
It's dated on the attitudes towards people. Right.
And the swimwear.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, it looked okay on her. But, there were a couple things that were just like, whoa, that's just, even back then, I wouldn't have done some of the things they did in this movie. But it holds up better than a lot of the movies from that era do. So.
When you think about it, it's really not special effects. Most of these were sets.
They're sets. Oh, yeah.
And that makes
it
somewhat impressive, actually, in a way.
Yeah.
Still photography and sets.
Yeah, I thought the camera work on that was pretty good for back in the time, even nowadays.
I think some of it still holds up.
I still think this was 1956 instead of 60s. It seemed a little older than 66 to me. It seemed like it was still an older movie.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Because, anyways, Hoodie, I'll get that bad in a minute. I have a point there. But let's go over to Matthew St. Hoodie, patron saint. What are you going to talk about here? You have a 6 on this film. No, you went to 5.
I'm the only guy with a 5.
Okay, you went to 5. You could bump up. Probably not.
Nope.
You're right in the middle. You're right in the middle, which is kind of like the gut area.
Yeah, it's the...
What you got?
The colon?
That would be more like a 2. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't have a lot to say about this at all. I mean, the older movies, especially this kind, fantasy style, they don't hit me at all. It's really hard, and it's even harder to judge a movie on what they were looking at back in the 60s and 66 when it was made. I wasn't around, so I don't really know that time except for what I've seen. It's hard for me to put myself there and say, oh, this was amazing for back then. I don't know.
Because you can't really talk about how you feel about it.
Right. So, and the 5 is basically just because I respect it. Mm-hmm. You know, it got an Oscar. There are certain things, like Adam was saying, I think it shot really well. I like that there were different colors for different systems. I thought that was a good idea. Not a whole lot to say.
Yeah. We'll talk about some of the
technical. I didn't like the real time. I thought that really hurt the movie quite a bit, actually. I would have liked to have seen like 4 hours and then make it a little more realistic because it just wasn't working at all.
But what if they were stuck in there for a whole day and as you watch the oxygen deplete?
That would have been even better. I mean, what they're thinking, an hour. Oh, my God, how are they going to do anything in an hour?
Like,
but in
pressure.
24 hours, you're right. That would have been even better because you could do a lot more stuff and have it take a little bit longer. And then it was funny to watch how the dire situations then with, right. And I was thinking about that, like when they were trying to, you know, refuel the ship with the air.
Yeah.
And how, you know, just how dangerous they were trying to make that look and how just lame, incredibly lame it looked. Right. He's like, don't we have a snorkel on this thing? Why, yes, we do.
Yeah, of course like, we do.
Why would they put a snorkel on?
I'm right. thinking the same yeah. things you so, are when
right.
I'm watching
so, this film. It was for the, for the oxygen to start going out right when they're near the lungs.
Yeah, well, and, yeah. Oh, that was all through the movie, just the,
sure it was.
As Max says, that I can't say.
Say it, say Machina.
It. Yeah, that one.
Machina is whatever.
Dosi Max.
Yeah.
Dosi Max.
The whole time watching this, I was trying to picture how it would be translated so that it would work for me. How would, you know, Michael Bay have taken this on and made this just a crazy, crazy movie. So
there would have been a bomb inside the body.
Obviously.
Of course.
A Transformer would have popped out of something.
Well, you know, they did remake this to a certain extent with Interspace. And I always thought this would be a better comedy aspect.
I loved Interspace.
Yeah, and someone took that idea. This is a comedy. Someone's trapped inside someone else.
Yeah.
And that was actually a good film. But I think when they made that, it was supposed to be more of a remake of this. And they started going down that road and they said, this is a comedy. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Martin Short, let's get him. And that's how they went down with that film.
That's the way it seems.
That's the way it went. That's what I read, and the internets don't lie.
That's right.
Neither does Hard Sub Savage. This man will not lie. He can't lie, and he's going to tell us what he thought of this film as he watched it.
I don't believe him.
Well, I'm with Max a little bit. I was surprised by the seriousness of which this film took itself. There was no camp. There was no playing for laughs at all. It was this ridiculous, preposterous premise that they just completely embraced and they completely went with. It's like, this is a matter of fact military secret. This is what we can do. This is how we're doing it. And all of the trappings around it were just ridiculous. The CDFM, the Control Center for Miniaturization Forces.
Yeah, miniaturized forces.
Right.
Did you notice how okay the guy was with the two? We're going to shrink you down. Oh, okay. Sounds great. Right. Sounds great.
We could put a whole arm
but
in a bottle
But I had plans
cap.
This weekend. Right.
No, it was rife with these things that they could have played with laughs. If just the tone, if an eye roll, if a smirk would have been different, it would have went completely camp because everything was set up for it. Everything was set up for it.
Yeah.
But they played it completely straight. And I want to talk about the first 2 minutes, though, real quick. The first 2 minutes where there was no sound at all. There's no dialogue.
So I said it took a while to get to the narrative, to the dialogue.
I loved that. I loved it, too.
I did, too.
Just the sound of the plane and then just the sound of the attack. And it was a little overkill with the military surrounding the plane, but whatever. No Lincoln Continentals were injured during the first 2 minutes.
I don't think they were. I couldn't tell. Is that a Lincoln?
Oh, that was a beautiful car, too.
Yeah.
But getting into it, okay, you accept the premise. And the surprisingly somber and serious tone of the film, this matter of fact, this is what we're going to do. And you go in, and then there is, coming from a theater background, there is some incredible set work done.
Just yeah, really
the interior, the scenes of it. The scuba diving thing was weird because you can tell it was kind of lifted.
Yeah.
And they were trying to act like they were floaty.
Yeah.
I think they pulled it off for the most part fairly well, and it worked fairly well, but the size and the scope of the sets, I think that's why it won the Oscar.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Caligari, too, for whatever reason.
Explain that.
The German expressionism with the sharp angles and all that, just the way that the... what am I thinking of? When he was getting the air, that really big set that he walked into, and they shot it at a distance,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But and I don't know why, but I you know, that's straight up German expressionism with the weird furniture. It doesn't really make sense, but for some reason that scene, I just went boom right there to
Caligari. Especially in the lungs, where he's in the lungs, and he goes, and it's a giant set. I mean, it's a giant set.
These sets are massive, and there's a lot of sweat equity in that too. I mean, these are things that are created with a lot of thought and a lot of a lot of ambition behind those sets, too.
Sure, sure there are. I think Max's point where it ages better than you think, but it doesn't age that well.
Right.
I think a lot of films in this era fall victim to that. I mean, obviously, there were good films made. Dr. Strangelove.
Dr. Strangelove will hold up forever, no matter what time.
That being the example. But somebody, I recently saw a film, and somebody said that this era between the mid-60s to the mid-early 70s was when the great studios, they had kind of abdicated to corporations. So there was no visionaries at these big studios anymore.
Right.
It was all just money and whatever, just corporations. And then in the mid-70s, this new wave of directors and talent came in, your Coppolas, your Scorsese's, your Milius, Spielberg's, these guys came in. So there was this weird decade where film just sucked.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I've told you. I think mid-70s, we turned some kind of corner in the mid-70s.
There were no good movies in 69 or
well,
70.
I mean, there were, Max. That's, I'm not trying to make a blanket statement, but it's just the scope of the studio time, you know, the 50s, there were 40s, the 50s, and then up to the mid-60s, those guys retired. And then they turned it over to just corporations, your Time Warners and things like that.
Yeah.
And then there was this weird just scramble for who can do what when. Mm-hmm. And then it, I think this falls into that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Actually, I kind of agree with that too, because I don't like a, I don't grab onto a lot of movies because of that reason too. They were so large in production and almost really they left out the heart of the film a lot of times. In the mid 70s, it did kind of turn a corner. There was a lot of like darker, deeper method acting kind of things going on. But let me tell you what I think of this film. And you kind of, well, drives me a little bit when I said when you use science fiction and, special effects to create a movie around, it's going to date it hard.
Sure.
I mean, for example, the themes of love, of loss, of life, those are all universal. But when you're making the theme about what science could be, when you're making the effects of that time stand out, it kind of, the film progresses from at that time in 66, you're watching this because you've never seen anything like that. You're looking at it because the science, it's fiction, but man, could it be real? So then you look at the film that way, at least I did when I'm watching this, and then there's also the way of looking at it nowadays when that science is not so much fiction anymore, it's not magical, it's not really in the space and time of the Cold War, and the special effects are not really special. Now you're looking at them like, oh, that's how they used to do that before we had what we have now. So when I look at these films, I kind of look at them from both angles. I kind of juggle them back and forth. It's 1966, I just saw this. It's today, I just saw this. I can't help it. When I look at a film like this, I'm always wondering how I would have seen it then, how I see it now.
Right.
And does it really kind of hold up in both time frames? And for me, I guess it did for the most part. You know, the problem I have with it at its core is that I said it's the shallow end of the pool. It doesn't go much beyond what you're looking at.
No.
There's really no conflict between the characters. There's really no heated dialogue.
They even tried for it with
with a guy in the spiritual thing.
Not the guy in the spiritual thing.
Well, the main doctor.
Okay.
I think you're thinking of with
the terrorist or angle. Yeah, whatever. That they tried to have a little bit of conflict.
But it's real light.
Yeah, it didn't work at all.
Yeah, it's like, okay, here's the film. They're saying, okay, well, these four guys, this crew, it's inside this body. There's someone that's going to sabotage the thing.
Yeah.
Right? There's a little bit of tension here because of this, then, and that's it. Let's get on with the special effects.
Right.
And it almost felt like an after-school special, too. I remember seeing this as a kid.
I understand that.
I remember in like fifth or sixth grade, them. Do you remember the AV cart would come into your classroom? You'd get all excited.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to watch a movie today. Fantastic Voyage. Okay. This is how I learned about white blood cells. This is how I learned about pleurisy.
Maybe not the best way.
No. But to me, the film almost seemed like it was a little too heavy on that. Sometimes it became silly. It's like, oh, the white blood cells are coming. And you know what white blood cells do, Jim. When you're under distress and there's something foreign in your body, see how they come at you at this angle and they try to clean. And oh my gosh, look at his lungs. And he's suffering from pleurisy. And that's when the sack.
Yeah. The anti-smoking thing. See all that black stuff in there, kids?
But everybody smoked.
So the film really just became almost a PSA in a lot of ways. And
completely predictable, too.
It was so predictable, and there really wasn't a lot of magic here. I give this a 6 because at the time, the big storyboard concept, let's take outer space, inner space, that's a great concept.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I didn't think the acting was that bad. I like Donald Pleasence as a creepy guy in this. I give it its merit on really just out of respect for it at the time because of its big idea.
Sure. Yeah, but how much can we go on respect? That's kind of one of the things that I ran into.
They had the big blood board.
I like the big sets. I like but at the same time, I really, maybe I'm giving it a little bit too much respect because it really is, it's a very shallow, shallow movie, but that's what I have to say about it. We'll get into some of the effects.
Skin deep.
Yeah, well, that's why I went a 5, just straight out of respect. I really didn't like the movie at all.
I didn't enjoy it, and it doesn't hold up other than the big idea is still kind of cool to get lost in. All right, why don't we stop here for a second? We'll, let's do a piece of, 1966, the film we're talking about, Fantastic Voyage.
It's fantastic.
It's fantastical. And here's a piece of it.
Yes, Alan.
Meet Grant. This is Dr. Michaels, chief of the medical section.
Glad to have you with us, Mr. Grant.
Wish I knew why. Tell him where he fits in, will you? I've got a few things to check out.
We need you for security purposes, Mr. Grant.
At an operation?
They know they failed to kill Benish. Security thinks they'll try again, first chance they get. We're afraid of sabotage. Surgical assassination.
Surgical assassination? Does that mean you suspect
Duval, that's right.
Well, I don't agree. just because it's often difficult.
Difficult is impossible.
That's no reason to suspect him of disloyalty.
Why take the chance? There must be other doctors.
DeVal's the most skillful brain surgeon in the country, and there's no time. Besides, he's right here at hand.
I wouldn't know if he's trying to save him or kill him.
I'll be standing by. I would know.
No matter what happens, you're to take orders only from Dr. Michaels. Understand?
Right, sir.
Come on along. They'll be operating shortly.
Okay, so there it is. There's a piece from the 1966. Is that right?
Yeah, 66.
Dang.
Feels like yesterday.
Feels mm-hmm. Yeah. Really. 1966 film that we're talking about tonight. Fantastic Voyage. And we told you how we felt about the film. Now, let's talk a little bit about the film. Some scenes that stood out to us. Over to producer. Talk to me about a scene, something that stood out to this in this film to you that you might want to get into.
Okay, I have a couple little things, and I kind of want to say the overacting in here was kind of bad, especially when they're swimming and Donald Pleasance, when he gets his claustrophobic little moment. It's like, oh, come on, this is so cheesy. But, you know, some of it was, rest of the part was pretty good. And one other thing I want to say is the anatomy on this really got to me.
In what way? In what regard?
It was awful.
There's a million ways to go with this, but what are you talking about?
He's kind of a professional, too.
Yeah, okay, you are a professional.
Yeah, I kind of know my arteries.
You've looked inside. You've seen some arterial spray.
Right. Yeah.
What part? Actually, I think about that angle with you two guys. But Adam, producer, what is it that struck you in that regard?
Oh, I mean, them trying to making this big giant map of how they're going to get from here to it looked like the Circle of Willis to me.
It was just a magnet he was moving along.
Yeah. Right. And that really ticked me off too, is that they had a digital reading of this thing going through, and then there had this big guy with a weird magnet going. That was like dumb. It's like, you could have put that on the big screen.
And why was it at an angle?
I know.
Why was it at an angle?
It was so strange. Right.
Diagonals are dramatic.
But yeah, they're trying to map this from getting from your carotid up to your, I guess, towards your Circle Willis map.
Yep.
And the whole thing is, there's 1,000 little capillaries that would have branched off at this point. They never would have been able to make it there with an app.
Yeah, and they would have had to have taken some of those capillaries to get to the point. It's not just going to be like sitting right in the middle of a major artery. Oh, there it is, right in the middle of the artery.
Yeah, there's no way it would have made it. And then the route they took in the heart.
Well, all we have to do is just go through the arm. We'll be in the air in about 2 minutes.
it was laughably bad.
That's interesting. I didn't think about this angle. You two as pros here, you have a bit of a handle on this. I didn't think about how you might see this. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, let's go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. Let's talk about a scene out of this film that you may want to get into. What would it be?
Well, they actually did go into a capillary. I want to point that out.
Because they went into that one capillary.
It's getting tight in here. It's a capillary. But one of the things that really, really dates this movie, I mean, big time, is the tiny radars going off all around the guy's
body. I'm so glad that you...
God, I hated that.
I was like, really? I mean, come on. You don't think they're going to have something better than that.
And it looked ridiculous.
You could have had one big radar, but no, you got to make a bunch of little ones. What difference does it make?
They could have painted a plate silver and just put that over top of them and said, that's the radar.
That's the radar. But you had to have a bunch of little... Why did they have to be little radars?
I don't know. But like I was saying before...
Funny looking. It looked like something from Fraggle Rock. The dozer or something would have built.
Nice. When I told you, I thought...
Come up and eat it.
I thought this felt more 1956 than 66. It seemed dated even in 1966 to me because of stuff like that.
Well, I mean, that was one thing. Not to cut him off, but the inconsistency throughout the movie.
In what way?
The heart rate. They said, oh, he's at this rate. And then they said he's at this rate. But you could clearly listen to the heartbeat and say, that's way more than 6 beats a minute. It's going a lot faster.
Yeah.
They could have done a little bit better with the continuity as far as that kind of thing goes.
Yeah.
Or just cracked a book.
Yeah, just open a book.
Yeah,
really.
You know, that's the rule. You don't look at the science in science fiction.
And I'm not trying to pick on the movie, but a lot of the stuff as far as physics and how stuff would have worked, it was just, I mean, I'm no Stephen Hawking or anything, but for God's sakes, this would not work. Like when he sticks the funnel or the snorkel into the lung, he's like, well, how much, wouldn't that force the air into the thing? He's like, well, yeah, I guess it would. Well, wait a minute. The air pressure coming out of there would have completely blown that tank out of the ship. I mean, comparatively to the size of this tank,
right,
to the amount of air pressure coming out of this guy's lungs, comparatively, it just would not have worked at all. He'd have stuck it out there for
a millisecond, the thing would have been full and blown up.
You know, I like this conversation because we're talking about the technical angle here and how it's not necessarily holding together. I didn't consider any of that. Oh, now I'm thinking about it, and it's interesting really how you're saying this.
Really and I think me and Matt had the same thought on the enormous, huge plot hole.
Give
at
it
the
to me,
end
plot
of the
hole.
Movie.
What is it?
Well, I don't know if that's what he wanted to talk about.
You
want to
talk about that?
Go.
Oh, the ending?
Yeah.
When they blow up again and the movie just ends? what needed to happen was a pan shot to the room on the operating table, and you would have just seen a bloodbath.
Yeah.
Everything would have, you know, resized inside him, all the little remnants they left behind.
Okay.
And you can say, oh, no, ship? It was all absorbed. That's still going to blow up.
Still going to blow up.
Right.
So
I didn't think about that.
They left the ship behind.
They left
the laser behind. Well,
and I think that they tried to answer that by saying, oh, no, those were absorbed by the cells.
The corpuscle.
That doesn't fly. That does not fly.
It's not going to absorb that quickly.
And we're talking about 1966 Fantastic Voyage, by the way.
Yep, the plot holes, actually.
The plot holes in it.
So, yeah, that was the worst part of the whole thing. And I was just like, really? That's how they end it?
What about you? GTA's got to talk about Savage. What's one thing stood out to you?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, the opening, it was really neat, how the absence of dialogue for like 2-3 minutes. I should have timed it, but it seemed like it was much longer.
It was 5 to 6.
And it established a fairly somber tone.
That was one of the best parts of the whole movie.
It was.
I mean, it really, if it had kept that pace, that urgency, I think it would have been a way better movie to me, at least.
It seems like it gave you something that it was trying to sell you something in the beginning that it really didn't give you in the end.
That's exactly. Yeah. That's a really good way
Speaking of the beginning, that's one of the things I really liked. Besides that opening scene with the cars and the guy getting shot, I like the way the credits started with the computer spelling out the credits and who was in it.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wow, this was like, this looks like this is going to be like a real bona fide hard science fiction movie.
Yeah, and it became very fluffy.
And it started out that way, and then it just kind of,
But the credits were great.
The credits were awesome.
You could actually take those credits and put it on any modern movie, and those credits are timeless.
They would still
if you want to go something that's actually timeless, it'd be the credits.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Awesome.
It's funny how we all landed on that, because that's exactly what I thought. You know, the only thing I'm going to bring into this conversation, got to talk about, the movie Airplane. Remember the guy kept popping up going, I picked a bad week to stop
sniffing
glue. I picked a bad week to stop smoking cigarettes. I picked a bad week to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Was that loosely based on this guy in this film?
Oh, the guy that kept drinking coffee.
Yeah. And he just shook his head. Oh, like you could almost see him saying to himself, I picked a bad week to stop smoking and drinking coffee.
I think it's based on that stereotype of that guy.
Is that what it was? For some reason, this is completely disregarded as far as part of the film, but I thought of that. For some reason, I thought of Airplane watching this movie.
I mean, he takes off his sunglasses and there's another pair of sunglasses.
Yeah, right. It's weird. I thought of Airplane a lot, probably because of like the
Robert
stressful
stack.
Someone lost out in somewhere and trying to
it's
get them back home kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the same movie in a different way.
You know? So, you know, maybe this was inspirational in a lot of ways we didn't consider. You know?
Yeah.
It's a disaster movie at its core.
Disaster movie. There you go.
Y'all have something to say.
No, but I want to throw this out there. Just to your point, Maestro, it's when you look back on these older science fiction movies, I think what they tell us, and all science fiction movies tell us, is that we can't really truly predict our own future. The reality of our future is more extravagant than we could have ever conceived.
Yeah.
Or not near the wildest imaginations of what we did. Like, nobody could have predicted cell phones, even Star Trek.
I mean, even 20 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The first Star Trek was using paper. They had reams of paper. They would do computer printouts with paper.
Yeah.
And Star Trek. You know, that's
2001 had a lot of stuff that's out there right now.
Did you notice in the 1962, whenever they wanted something to look futuristic, they just put in a lot of light bulbs?
Yeah.
Like in this movie.
It's
like, come
he
on.
Was blinking.
The more light bulbs does not make it more futuristic, okay?
I thought that.
The hell it doesn't.
And that's funny you say that. It's funny you say when they were walking into the corridor, they were walking down the hall and there was just this bank of blinking lights.
It's like just blinking lights.
Okay, what are those
a
there for?
Of blinking
what are those there for? And you know what I thought of? That scene in Airplane 2 with William Shatner where it was going on about the lights.
The lights
blinking,
and they're blinking and they're flashing.
And they're flashing.
I'm telling you, I'm glad you're on board with me. I kept thinking of Airplane during this film.
Right.
There's a tie in there somewhere. I don't know what it is. All right, guys, you want to wrap it up, get into our top threes?
Sure.
And this week it is top three, what is it, Cruise.
Cruise.
We'll get back to that in a second.
Cruising films.
Cruise. Not Penelope or Terry.
See, I'm
not the Al Pacino movie.
Please, not the Al Pacino movie. That was definitely ahead of his time, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, let's take a break right here. Let's listen to a piece closed out with a small part of the film we discussed, 1966, Fantastic Voyage. We'll come back in just a minute and give you our top threes.
CMDF, Combined Miniature Defense Force. Project Fantastic Voyage. Process, miniaturization. Authority, top secret, highest clearance. Team, Jonathan Kidd, commander. Guru, master of mysterious powers. Erica Lane, doctor, biologist. Busby Birdwell, scientist, inventor, builder of the Voyager. Mission, in their miniaturized form, to combat the unseen, unsuspected enemies of freedom. Time limit, 12 hours.
Back again. That is Fantastic Voyage, the film we talked about tonight. And it did inspire a top three list.
Yeah.
As they all do. You know that, Savage.
Yes, I do.
Absolutely. This one is no different. Top three movie Cruise. Not Tom Cruise.
Not Penelope.
See, that's what I was going to go.
Not Penelope.
Not Cruise.
I was
going to
go Penelope, Terry, Tom.
Either way. Interesting.
Penelope's number one.
That would kind of narrow down the list, wouldn't it?
Right.
I would put Terry at number one.
Terry would put Tom at number one. He's been in more movies I like.
Right.
You said Tom?
Yeah.
Really?
Guy delivers.
Nicely done. Right.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the queue.
Right.
Now, these are crews, as in a crew of like
C-R-E-W-S.
Ships. That's what I'm talking about. Like a crew
group
on
of
a
people
ship
with a mission.
Crew right on a boat. So, are you talking about? Does it have to be on a ship?
No.
No. Just okay. A group of people.
A group of people set out to do a mission or a job.
Yes.
Working in synchronicity.
Absolutely.
With one another.
Absolutely.
A common goal.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, let's
good
do it.
Because I'd have to get a new list if it wasn't.
All right.
Producer, this is somewhat your film. Ah, heck, it is. Yeah, your dad queued this up. It's Daddy's film.
It's the Family Plan.
Let's lead it off with you. What's your number three?
I kind of want to go with the Black Pearl.
Okay.
Okay. That's legit.
And I'm talking about the skeletons because they're pretty awesome.
That is a great crew. I mean, you think about a crew on
you're
a ship.
You're not talking about Captain Jack's crew.
Oh, God, no. I want the skeletons.
All right.
That is a great crew.
I'm going to have a skeleton crow. Crew.
Skeleton crow. Crow.
I don't know. I just open my mouth and things fall out.
Let me tell you what mine is, number three. I'm going to go off the rails just a bit. I like the leader of this particular crew, and that is Dennis Leary, the crew from Judgment Night. His crew rolling around Chicago.
Chicago.
You know what I'm talking about? You've seen
movie
this film.
Seen
I mean, yeah.
That's his crew, man.
Adam's going to say, I love
that soundtrack.
Yeah.
I love that soundtrack.
I have to bring Dennis Leary in whenever I can. I'm a big fan.
All right.
That's my number three, the crew of Judgment Night. Number right three for you, Savage. What is it?
I'll match you that. I'll do the Reservoir Dogs.
Have to. That is a crew.
They didn't like each other.
I don't know that they were so successful. No. Not a very good.
Not a good crew, but right a memorable.
Yeah, but yeah, they
and you know what?
Routine.
Love that soundtrack.
Good soundtrack.
Hoodie. Let's go over to you, man. Number three. Top three movie crews. What are you going to go with?
Number three, the guys from Predator.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Muscle bound and just ready for anything.
You know, if
unless
it bleeds.
Unless it was a Predator.
If it bleeds, it can die. Did you know that?
Dutch's yeah crew.
Well, I didn't know that covering myself in mud is the best thing I could do if I'm in the jungle and being hunted.
They don't have time to bleed.
It's good to know stuff. I mean, really, yeah, good to know.
Yeah. Thanks, Dutch.
Yeah. Max, it looks like you're still doing homework over there, Gumbo.
This was really hard for me.
This was really tough.
This was tough. Yeah, I'm going to have to just pull the trigger here. Number three, Team America.
Mm. Oh!
That is awful.
That is not awful.
I wanted to say something.
You have such
like
a good
Team America.
List,
what comes after Team America?
Because they're great. That is a great crew. No.
Why don't you like that answer?
Because there's so many other good crews. I can't believe Team America made
that's
it.
That's
so
an awesome answer.
All right, you got that the Dirty Dozen answer on there.
Hold on.
That's better.
No, Team America's awesome.
I think that was a great...
Team America is greater than the Dirty Dozen. I know we're on number three, and I'm not making any points here, but I'm upset.
Sorry.
I am not being rational right now.
But I think I've already used the Dirty Dozen in a list. I've got to keep it off of one of my lists.
I like that answer. I'm sticking with you on that one, man. You know, we got a crew here, too. The Q crew. right?
No, we've never once called ourselves that.
I tried to work that in. It felt awful. It felt dirty and awful.
It felt like something Saved by the Bell would do.
Yeah. Adam, Screech, yeah. Give me your number two. What is it?
Well, Ice Pirates.
Don't know what that is. That's good.
What is Ice Pirates?
You never seen Ice Pirates?
What the hell is he talking about? Wow.
All right, Team America is not so bad.
Starring Robert Urich.
Yeah.
I have no concept.
I loved Ice Pirates as a kid.
Ice Pirates. I mean,
there was no ice anywhere. You know the feeling. There's no ice anywhere.
Yeah, Ice Pirates.
I have no emotional connection to that answer. None.
Fantastic Voyage just went up a notch for me.
Yeah. Ice Pirates is awesome.
You want to hear my number two?
Well, it's maybe not awesome, but
watch it again.
My number two, because we're talking Bill Paxton. Uh-oh. I want him on my crew. I'm talking aliens.
All right.
There you go.
Rock and roll.
What are we going to do now? Or whatever he said. Remember that?
It's a bug hunt.
Game over.
Game over, dude.
I don't know if you've been paying attention to current situations, man.
Love that crew. That's a crew, even in my dire situation, I'd laugh like savage.
And that's one of the funny movies where, like, the two best lines were actually in the same shot. When he goes, game over, man, game over. And the camera pans to the little girl, and she says, my favorite line in movie history is, like, they come out at night mostly. Mostly. It's the same shot.
And it's all improv.
Really? I didn't know that. I knew the game over was improv. I didn't know her line's not improv.
My favorite line in that movie was, hey, Morales, you ever get mistaken for a man? No.
Do you?
You know what? That is a classic film because of that dialogue right there. Savage, number two for you. Where are we going?
Oh, I'm number two. I'm going with the crew at two with Cruise. Maverick and Goose.
Tom Cruise and Top Gun.
I made default. Is that a crew?
Sure it is.
I think it's got to be three or more.
No.
Well, you got Iceman, Maverick, Goose. Slider was in there.
Yeah, you put them all in there. Yeah.
No, man, it's a crew. They're conducting a ship. They're a crew. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'll let you have it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go over to your wingman, and that is Matthew St. Hoodie. Number two for you. What is it?
It's actually Alien, the original crew.
That's pretty good.
But there's no crew. Bill Paxton in that.
I get it.
But there's Harry Dean Stanton.
But there's Harry Dean Stanton and Yaphet Kotto.
That's right.
All right.
So...
I think I like the original crew better than the Marine crew.
How this worked, though. You know what? As a crew, we work together. You pick the first one. I pick the second one.
And they're both superior to Team America. I think we can all agree on that.
And Team America is superior to Ice Pirates.
Don't know what Ice Pirates is like Team America. Give me your number two, Max. What is it?
I had to go with the Usual Suspects.
Thought about that. That's a great crew.
Pretty good crew.
Pretty
nice.
Good crew.
Oh, they were just so great. Such a great crew. Such a great crew of guys.
There was great camaraderie on that crew.
So mysterious.
They were. I couldn't tell who was who.
And Stephen Baldwin was somehow in a crew.
And he was somehow good. Who would have thunk it?
A movie vastly...
Yep, that was Stephen Baldwin.
A movie vastly over-talked about, but I still love it. Adam, producer, number one. You're going to take us around the bend here with your top pick. What is it? Top movie crews. What is it?
The coolest looking crew ever. All of them were on the Death Star. The Stormtroopers. The Imperial.
That's more of an army.
That's kind of an army. And they were hired, really, I guess. I mean, they're being paid. I don't know. I think
they were enslaved.
They were clones. Enslaved,
they were created.
They were bred.
Enslaved crew.
They had no idea what they were doing.
You should go with maybe the Rebels.
Okay. How about the crew of the Millennium Falcon?
No, not the Rebels. How about the crew of the Death Star? They're scum.
How about the other guys? Han and Leia and Lee.
Right, that crew.
That's a good crew.
That's a good crew.
No, I would say that's a classic crew.
I would say that's one of the better crews.
He's going with Stormtroopers.
My number one, let me see here. I'm going to go down my list. Of course, it's Hans Gruber. Of course, it's his crew.
Because that's the best leader of a crew, I think.
Alan Rickman, Hans Gruber. And we're talking about Die Hard. That's my number one right there. I wanted to be part of his crew.
All right.
I don't care if it's illegal. I don't care if I'm evil. I'm following Hans Gruber.
All right.
Now you follow me, Seth.
He's a very charismatic leader.
He's a great beard. Kind of like you, Max. You got a great beard.
You almost called me Savage.
I'm sorry.
Oh, right.
God. Savage does not have a beard. Yeah, do you have a number
grow
one?
All this.
No, and you're not a Savage.
You're right.
The most iconic crew ever. I mean, this crew made stars of all of these people and almost ruined their entire acting career, and it is the crew of the Starship Enterprise.
Okay, now
which Enterprise?
Yeah, you have ways to go. Which way are you going with it?
It's the original star, the Kirk Spock.
Which movie?
Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, let's go with number two, just because it's a good film. I mean, the number one stands up. I think it stands up with V'ger and Voyager and all that. I think it's a neat story.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first one sucked.
It doesn't suck.
No, watch it again.
I did recently. Suck. It's horrible.
It's pretty bad, Max. No,
it's much better than I remember. Oh.
But two, let's go with Star Trek 2, you know, the Wrath of Khan.
Give me your number one.
It's a tiger shark.
Jaws.
The crew of the Orca?
Oh, what?
Yeah, Jaws. That is the crew.
Good answer.
It's the best.
I didn't even put it on my list because I can't believe he was going to pick it.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, I swear. I was like,
I swear.
Let's guess what crew that Max is going
to
pick.
I don't have to. What is it?
It's easy.
Put on your proton pack.
Put on your proton
It's the Ghostbusters. Yeah. It's the Ghostbusters. It's the Ghostbusters. I could not pick the Ghostbusters.
I didn't even put it on my list because I knew Max would pick it.
Yep, right, sure. Whatever, dude.
That is a great answer, actually. I don't know why I didn't think of that. I just saw the movie last night.
I didn't think of it either.
Listen, I put this out on Twitter. I always do every week. Let me just get this out the way real quick. I had some good answers coming back. This guy calls himself Derek Cool at Cool Derek. I bet you he's kind of cool. He's cool because he gave out, like, Breakfast Club or crew from Serenity.
Yeah, Serenity.
Oh, the Serenity crew.
That's a good one. Serenity.
That's my number two, Serenity.
Yeah, but the Star Trek and the Firefly were both started as TV shows. Can you really count that?
I don't know.
They were movies, granted. All right.
Both got movies.
This is Cool Derek. Don't question him, okay?
Sorry, Cool Derek. Stay cool, man.
Peterson Hill at Peterson, W-H-I-L-L. Peterson W. Hill. It says Kurosawa is the Seven Samurai.
Seven Samurai.
He says Master and Commander.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Master and Commander,
That's a great film. I actually like to see it again. Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker, yeah.
Wow, James got excited.
Have you seen Hurt Locker?
Have you seen Hurt Locker?
I have.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's not a best picture.
Dalton Brown at Cakeless Roses, Seven Psychopaths and a Clockwork Orange.
Oh, wow. Oh, Clockwork Orange, that's a good one. Way better than Team America.
Jamie Meyer at J. Meyer 35 says Inglourious Bastards.
Yep.
Brendan Roberts at Scorpio 0X61. Ocean's 11, both Sinatras and Clooney's crews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There you go. There's your Twitter shout out. So that's it, guys. That is our top three movie crews. That's what that was. Inspired by the film we talked about.
Fantastic Voyage.
1966, directed by Richard Fleischer.
That memorable. There you go.
Fantastic Voyage, 1966. All right, so that brings us into next week's episode. We're going to queue up something else. And obviously, this is our Framley Plan. Week two of the Framley Plan. Shared minutes, by the way. The Framley Plan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dan Rogers, Daddy Rogers. Fantastic Voyage. Yeah, why not go back?
This is your Father's Day present, by the way.
That's it. Going back a few years. It's on Netflix. Yeah. I mean, you want to watch it, I'd say, hey, you want to see a relic? You want to see Raquel Welch?
No, I see you all the time. You're a relic. Keep going.
Yeah.
Raquel Welch is not a relic.
My hair is getting there. Mm-hmm. We're going over to Hearts Up Savage. We're going to talk about a friend. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about who, and we're going to talk about what.
We're going to talk about a friend who's kind of family. He's my brother from another mother. His name's Blue Sherry. His knee-jerk reaction when I threw it out there was Spinal Tap.
Of course it was.
But it's not Netflix streaming, so we can't do Spinal Tap.
It gets an 11.
Right.
So drop the bomb,
bomb. So if you know Blue, it's Evil Dead number 2, Dawn of the Dead.
Not Dawn of the
no.
Dead. Dead Till Dawn.
Dead Till Dawn. Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn.
Yes. Well, yeah. I think I've seen it.
Am I going to assume that Blue does not like Evil Dead 2?
No, he does.
No.
He does, but he wants to know why. He
needs his opinion validated.
I think so. Okay. In an intelligent way, because he's a long time, he listens to all of our shows and he understands each of our takes on films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good conversation either way. Evil Dead 2, that's next week. Yeah. It's on Netflix.
Dawn of the Dead. Thank
God. I think it's actually
Dead by Dawn.
Dawn of the Dead.
Dead by Dawn.
Dead by Dawn.
Dead by Dawn.
Enough of that.
Wow. I've only seen it. We could talk about it right now. Let's do the show right now.
Let's do it.
We legitimately could do a show right now about Evil Dead 2.
Evil
Dead 2.
No, I'm ready to go. I don't remember it at all.
That's Evil Dead 2. That's next week. I'm glad Blue's going to queue this thing up. Hey, one more time. If you want to keep up with us, thecuefilmcast.net. You want to go there. Let us know what you think of this film if you've seen it. If not, watch it, and then go to the Q Filmcast
night. And if you didn't like it, keep your opinion to yourself.
Either way. I like what he said better. QFilmcast.net if you want to keep up with us, Twitter, Facebook, everything else. Google us. You'll find something. We'll see you next week.
Little guy, Little guy, such a little guy. Such a little guy. And such a big guy.